Guys can be seated. So glad to be with you this morning and share a message with you. We thought we were done with Follow Me series, but as the Lord, I was preparing this week, he said, no, we've got one more, maybe two more. You know what? If we're talking about following Jesus, I think we could just do this forever, right? That's what we're all about, is following Jesus. But we're going to continue on in our series about defining what discipleship is, because we follow Jesus, and we are being made into disciples, and he has called us through the Great Commission, and we've talked about it being the mission of our church here at Harvest to make disciples who make his ways known. And so we really want to get a good grasp on what that means and what it means to be a disciple, and then what it means to actually take that out into the world around us and share what has been given to us with other people. Because you know what? It's great stuff that we've been given. And how could we help but not share that with other folks? So, you know, because we're around each other at this place called church, we get here every Sunday, we gather around each other, we tend to rub off on one another, right? And I think that's a good thing. And so one of the guys here at church, one of our more mature brothers who has mentored me and been an influence in my life, about a year ago, maybe a year and a half ago, I was shaking his hand and greeting him and, you know, saying the traditional, hey, it's good to see you, great, how are you, I'm fine, how are you, kind of a thing. And he replied back to me. He said this thing that has grabbed my attention for the last year. He said, it is good to be with you today. Isn't that good? And it communicated to me like, wow, I see you, I sense you, I feel you, I want to be around you. And it was more than a hi and a bye and a quick handshake and on down to the next person. It communicated to me my value and how it is good for us to be together. And I've been thinking about that. I've been thinking about that whole concept that as believers, we're called to be together, to be around one another, to bless each other. And this week at Life Group, we had an opportunity to talk about being a disciple, about following me. And Pastor Brad last week talked about that we have, that it's world-changing to make disciples, right? As we become one, we then go out and make disciples. And so I asked the group this question, you know, what does it look like on you? What is the unique way that God has called you or equipped you or prepared you or gifted you, whatever, however you want to say it, to make disciples? And there was a big cricket in the room, you know, chirp, chirp, chirp. One of the guys piped up and said, you know what? Sometimes it's really hard for us to identify in ourselves what our gifts are, what we're good at, what God's called us to, especially when we're talking about how we influence other people. He said, you know what I've recognized is it's really easy for us to see that in other people. For me to look at you and go, wow, you're really good at this. You're a really great encourager. You're super good at bringing levity into the situation, bringing some humor into it, and it makes everybody feel good. And we are able to name those different characteristics and qualities that we have as we are making disciples. And so our discussion kind of broke out on that, and we started sharing stories about, man, you remember the time when you told me this? And it just rocked my world and changed my life. And, you know, the other guy would go, no, I don't remember that at all. And you remember when this happened and we were together and we were doing such and such. And we started telling these stories about ways that we had been made disciples by each of the other men in that group. And it was really encouraging to us to recognize that being in a relationship with one another, a friendship, that we had kind of rubbed off on each other, so to speak. And that maybe there's more to this whole making disciples thing than just doing a bunch of religious stuff. But it's more about being a relationship. It's a both and, right? I mean, it's good that we come to church and that we participate in events that the church is doing and that we are doing spiritual activities or church activities that develop us and grow us in our discipleship. But if we don't partner that with relating with each other, then we've got an incomplete picture. And I think that's a huge picture of what church is all about. We don't sit in our living rooms on Sunday morning and listen to a message over the internet, primarily because it's good for us to be here in this room, all together at the same place at the same time, connecting with each other, having relationships, and talking about it. And so I was thinking about that word, making disciples. That's our mission statement, right from Jesus, right? Making disciples who make his way known. And that word making connotates in me or brings up in me a little bit of anxiety. And here's what I mean. Because I think about making, it sounds like a lot of work. Like I got to build something. I got to do something. I got to get some activity going, you know, maybe get out a saw and, you know, I don't know. It's just like, when I think about making something, it seems like work to me. And I don't know about you, but my to-do list is already really full, right? And so if I think about making disciples, it gives me this anxiety because I think about all of the things that are already on my list. I've already got this and that and you know, this place to be in a full schedule of things to do that I've come up with, that I have to do to maintain my life and live my life and raise my family and do my job. And I know and it's interesting to me how our society has gotten busier and busier and busier, and we've started just eliminating all of the gaps in our life. I was at the doctor's office the other day, and I was sitting there in the waiting room. And it's called waiting room for a reason, I noticed, because apparently his time is more valuable than my time, right? And even though I had an appointment and whatnot. But I was looking around the room and, you know, used to they had magazines and different things or people would have conversations when you're in the waiting room. What are they doing today? Everybody's got their phone out, right? We take our phone out because we got really important stuff to do, right? Like a lot of really important people we got to talk to and I need to get another email in and I can check that, you know, check the weather or I can check the news. And so we're sitting there on our phone looking at stuff that we want to look at because those magazines really aren't that interesting. I didn't want to know about that. But we find ourselves, if you look around, we fill every moment that we have in between the activities of our lives with something. We fill it up with activity. We got to check on stuff. We've got to make a call. We've got to get our calendar organized. We've got to cram one more thing. And we find ourselves tired and exhausted and run ragged and busy. You know, I was heard on the news the other day that busyness is now a status symbol in America. Like we brag about how busy we are when we talk to each other because it makes us feel important. It makes us feel valuable. It's a part of our culture, right? We are busy, busy people. And it seems like our to-do list just gets longer than we can manage. And I know there's this rumor going around, I've heard, that a lot of people think pastors just sit around all day long and drink coffee and read our Bibles, right? And we get to do that some. But I have found in my life lately that there's a lot more to it than that. And I've found that I've crammed my schedule so full of meetings and activities and different things that even doing churchy activities in my life have gotten me to the point when I get home at night, I'm exhausted to the point that I have trouble engaging my family and discipling my family. I just flat out have trouble staying awake. I mean, I sit down on the couch and I'm out, you know, before dinner's even ready. Because I've crammed so much into my day and felt like I needed to put so much in there. Luke 8:14 is a little bit convicting to me. I want to read it this morning. It's in the context of the parable of the soils. And Jesus is talking to his disciples about how to live their lives and how the work of the gospel comes into an effect and the things that would oppose that gospel. He said in verse 14, "The seeds that fell among the thorns represent those who hear the message, but all too quickly the message is crowded out by the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. And so these people never grow into maturity." And so we find that hurry and worry and this prevailing culture that we live in chokes out the effect that Jesus intends to have in our lives. And I want to get beyond a place to where making disciples makes me feel anxious. It makes me feel like there's something more for me to do because my schedule is so packed. I don't want to choke out the work of God in my life. I don't want to choke out what he's trying to accomplish. I don't want to choke out to the place of the effect that I could have on other people. And so I believe that this isn't what Jesus intended. It must be that I have a misunderstanding of what making disciples is all about, if it's just a checklist and a to-do list. I believe that he showed us a better way, and it's found in some stories that we're going to read this morning. In Mark chapter 3, if you want to turn over there in your Bible, we're going to look at a little bit about what how Jesus saw it a little bit differently. You know, it's amazing when Jesus says, "Follow me," that we get distracted along the way and actually pay attention to what he's doing or where he's going. And I'll be the first to admit that I get lost along the way sometimes. But the reality is, when we look at these stories, Jesus, his intention was not to create more activity in our life, but it says that he wanted to be with his disciples. So we'll pick that up in verse 13, chapter 3, 13. Says this, that he went up on the mountain and summoned those whom he himself wanted. And they came to him, and he appointed 12 so that they would be with him and that he could send them out to preach. And the Amplified Version says it a little bit differently. I like how it expounds it a little bit for us. It says, he went up on the hillside and he called those whom he himself wanted and chose. And they came to him. And he appointed 12 disciples so that they could be with him for instruction and so that he could send them out to preach the gospel as apostles. And so we find that in this verse, a lot of times we miss the first part and we grab a hold of the second part. You see, it says he wanted to be with his disciples so that he could train them, so that he could equip them, so that he could empower them to do the second part of that, which is to go out and preach and share the message and do churchy kind of stuff. And so we grab a hold of the ministry side of that because, you see, if we could, we can quantify that. If I go out and I do ministry or I show up in a certain place and I share the gospel with a person, I can see a quantifiable result of what I did. Or if I show up to a church event and I know that I attended there and I can check that off my list. Or if I read my Bible, you know, day after day after day and I'm on one of those plans, you know, and it shows you that you have what do they call that? A streak. Yes, right? And, oh, man, I missed my streak up. And so I got to, and I start checking the things off my list. Those things are quantifiable to us. And so they are easier for us to grab a hold of the ministry that we're doing, the things that we do, because we can check things off our list. And I like checking things off my list. I like seeing that I was productive, right? That I accomplished something. But Jesus, before they went out and did the ministry, it says that he wanted to be with the guys that were following him. And so making disciples was actually about developing these 12 guys, not necessarily all the healings and the miracles and the ministry that he was out doing. Those things are invaluable. I mean, they are extremely valuable, and that's why they're recorded in Scripture. And we see all these different stories of the places that he went and the things that he did. But I believe that we've missed something vitally important as we read those stories, because there's actually spaces in the life of Jesus between the ministry that he accomplished, between these events that went on in Scripture. Mark chapter 9, verse 30 and 31. I was reading about this. I was thinking about how Jesus would be in one place. It said he was in Jerusalem, the place I was reading. He was in Jerusalem, and he did this ministry event, and then he went from there to Capernaum. And did a ministry event in Capernaum. And I thought, I wonder how far that is. How far is it from Jerusalem to Capernaum? And so I went on Google and I did the map thing, and it's like 120 miles. But it looked like the road, you know, meandered around. And so I did some more research and found some websites that talked about walking paths because, see, Jesus didn't drive, right? He actually walked from place to place, and it was about 90 miles if you walked it. 90 miles. When's the last time you walked 90 miles to anywhere? I mean, I think that's a long way to drive still, you know. It took several days for them to walk that journey. And it says here in verse 30, leaving that region, they traveled through Galilee And Jesus didn't want anyone to know he was there. So while they're walking, while they're traveling, while they're going around, Jesus said, man, all this ministry stuff is great, all these things that we're doing, but I need to get away from the crowd. I need to get away from what's going on and all of this activity, this flurry of activity. And he says this, and I had not seen this before in this verse. He said, he wanted to spend more time with his disciples and teach them. So they went on this road trip, right, to create margin, to create a space that he could actually spend time with them. And that time on the road was full of conversations. I mean, can you just imagine, you know, after they had been somewhere and they'd done a big miracle something incredible happened, and so they're going to the next place, and the guys are asking all kinds of questions. They were like us, right? You know, wow, what happened there? How did you do that? And they just had a lot of questions. And so along the road then, I can imagine Jesus is explaining what went on, what his heart was. What did you guys catch this? You know, we talked to this person, and we raised that person from the dead. Did you see the effect that it had on his family? And so they would talk about these ministries, and they would talk about things and process the life that Jesus was imparting to them, the ministry that he was doing. And then they would, you know, camp out along the way. They'd have a campfire and eat around the fire or whatever they did. But the reality was that they spent time talking and processing and being discipled with Jesus. And then they would take another stop, and they would do another ministry event, and something incredible would happen there, and they would be full of questions again. And so they would take another road trip. And they would process, and they would grow, and they would learn by being together. And Jesus would impart to them the things that he wanted to give them and help them develop into disciples. And so this relational capacity or this part of his ministry that we don't get all the pictures into the gaps, because it was pretty slow, right? It was pretty uneventful. It was pretty unexciting. We miss out on those relationships. And I think about my schedule, and I pull that back, and I wonder, do I really have time in my schedule for the relationships, for the journeys? Because it doesn't take me that long to walk from here to Lubbock. It only takes 40 minutes, you know, driving in the truck. My gaps are smaller. My places are leaner in my schedule. But what would happen if I could reclaim that margin in my life? What would happen if I could actually have a novel concept of inviting God into my schedule? Because you see, I like to get up in the morning a lot of times and think about my full calendar and go, God, I would like you to bless my calendar today. Would you help me get all my stuff accomplished, right? Because I've already got it all lined out. I've got my meetings scheduled. I've got my activities scheduled. And it's full. It's packed. And I'm going, I'm going to need some grace to be able to get through all of this today, right? Is anybody there? You know, that's how we tend to run our lives, right? We plan out our lives. But what would it look like if you woke up in the morning and you said, God, I want to be about your kingdom today. What do you have on the agenda for me? Who would you like for me to connect with? How could I spend my time in such a way that it would reflect who you are? And so I believe that there's a couple of ways that we could transition into that, freeing up our schedule and empowering ourselves to really make a difference. The first thing I see here is that we could be intentional to be with Jesus. You see, it said Jesus wanted to be with his disciples, and my guess is most of us would claim that we're a disciple today, right? And I believe that Jesus wants to spend time with you today. It wasn't just those 12 guys back in the Bible, but that continues on. And Jesus would like to continue spending time with you. And so I would ask the question, are you making time in your calendar to be with the Lord? What does that look like for you? It said that Jesus often withdrew to lonely places to pray. He would find an opportunity to get away from the hubbub and the busyness of life, and he would make some time to spend with the Father, to get alone, to get outside of where all the pressure and all of the events and all of the chaos of activity and flow, to where it was a quiet place, a lonely place. And we don't often look out or find lonely places in our lives, do we? But here's the deal, you know. A lonely place doesn't have to be the backside of the desert for 40 days, right? We can find these times in our schedule, we can create these times to where we can get away from the distractions, we can slow down our rhythm a little bit, and we can hear from the Lord. It might be in your car on the way to work. Rather than having the news going that's getting you all riled up about the politics that are happening in the world, what if you turn that thing off? And what if you spent some time praying in the car on the way to work and asking, Lord, what does this day look like for you? It might be alone in your room at the end of the day. It might be for moms that have crazy schedules, the bathroom might be the only lonely place that you can find to get away from the kids, right? And you take that an extra 5 minutes in there, you know, while the door's locked, to get away from the kids and spend some time asking God, how could I be with you today, Jesus? How would you like to interact with me? And so what if these waking hours of our day, or what if we could carve out these opportunities to spend some time hearing from Jesus? Imagine what that would do to our capacity to have something to give to other people. The second thing is this: be intentional to be with others. You know, in Mark chapter 9, it went on to talk about there that Jesus took Peter, James, and John up on the mountain to be alone, to be undistracted, to have some time away from their busy schedules. And in that moment, while they were there in that place that they had set aside time, God encountered them in a really profound and unique way. And I think if you look back on your life, I've done some self-reflection. You know, there's times in my life when I was able to get away with a small group of guys and intentionally sought some time with the Lord, and those times and those places were so valuable to my spiritual development because I encountered God in a profound way. I was talking to a guy after first service this morning that had been on a retreat to where God met him in that place because he had chosen to get away from the hubbub of his life, but also to do that in the context or the fellowship of a bunch of brothers who were doing that together. And so there's these opportunities that we have to get away with other people to where God encounters us. But they don't have to be those unique, special retreat kind of weekends. Because I believe that God is calling us to be ourselves as we make disciples. That making disciples is all about basically just being in relationship with other people and rubbing off on them as we go about our day-to-day lives. That we find being ourselves, doing what we do, enjoying the things that God has created us to do, has this tendency to rub off on people if we'll just include them in our lives. You know, and sometimes I believe too that there's folks in the room today that feel like, man, I don't have my life altogether to where I could share something with someone else. That I don't feel like I'm a good enough disciple yet that I have something to offer. And I want to say a couple of things to that. One, I'm really glad that you're here. I'm glad that you're new on the faith journey in this walk. And I want to dispel a little bit of a lie there that you don't have something to share, because I believe God's created all of us in a unique way that we have something to give to something to someone else. But beyond that, if you look at your life and go, man, my marriage is in a wreck. I don't know how to raise my kids. I've got all these issues and problems. What if you thought about engaging in relationship and looking at other people who are farther along the path than you and going, wow, they have a marriage that's incredible. I wonder if they would spend some time with me and help teach me the ways that they are living together and how they've figured out how to do life. And so we've got to be... It's a both end, right? We're passing on what we have to the next generation, but we're also reaching out and learning from the generation that's gone before us, people that are farther along in their faith journey. I remember when we were had a young daughter at home, and we were trying to do the Kingdom Families thing. We were trying to learn how to discipline and how to say the right things and do the right things, but we realized that everything that was in the seminar didn't actually work that way in real life. Like, there were some differences in what we were experiencing from what the book said to what our real life said, and we needed some help. We didn't know what we were doing. And so we looked around and we found some people in this church that were farther along raising their kids than we were. And we said, would you please help us? Would you show us, how do you do this? How does this look in your family? How do you flesh this out? And so we were willing to say, I want to be in a relationship with someone that could help me learn and grow and be disciples. So it's a two-way street. We both give and we receive these kinds of things. And so I want to say this. What if you took and intentionally reached out in your life today and decided that you were going to spend some time getting together with people to do the things that you normally do? I mean, it's as simple as taking a walk in the park, right, or going out to get groceries, or I've got to run an errand to Lubbock, and so would you ride along with me? I'd love to hang out with you for a couple of hours. And we find the things that we're normally going about in our day-to-day life, and we invite people in to be a part of that, sharing a meal with us. Just doing the things that we do. I remember when I was in college, my granddad invited me, called me up one day, and he said, I need to go to a farm auction up in Colorado, and I really need you to drive me up there. Would you go with me? And I was like, sure, I'm always up for a road trip. And it just dawned on me recently that my granddad was a perfectly competent driver at that time in his life, and he did not need me to drive him to Colorado. He had simply invited me to go along on this trip because he wanted to be with me, to hang out with me, and probably saw that I needed some of the wisdom that he had to impart as well during those college years, right? But he chose to reach out and make an invitation and say, hey, why don't you come with me? We can do the same, right? We can invite people to come with us along this journey. Proverbs 13:20 says, when you walk with the wise, you become wise. And so spending time with other people, we get what they have. So if we spend time with Jesus first and we get some of that on us, some of this Jesus on us, and we spend time with other people, then the Jesus in us gets on them. And guess what? The Jesus in them gets back on us. And it's a win-win situation. It's called this relationship that Jesus is inviting us into. And so we find that making disciples is as simple as being who God created us to be. Being ourselves, being real, being including people in the day-to-day life that we live. So I'm learning this from J.A., who taught me it's good to be with you, and from Jesus, that being in relationship, being in community, being with one another is one of the primary ways that Jesus is calling us to make disciples who make his ways known. It's how we get to know him and how we get to share that. So this life group that I was telling you about that we had last week, a couple of the guys had gone on a trip that week and they had been spending time in the truck, and it was real easy for them to identify the gifts in each other and how they had been a blessing, how they had actually been discipled with one another because of the time that they spent. They just had conversations and as they traveled, and they actually had ministry that happened on that trip, reached out to a person. It wasn't a ministry trip, right? It wasn't a mission trip, but they reached out to a waitress in a restaurant while they were eating. They actually accomplished ministry while they were on vacation. Imagine that. It could be as easy as that of just having those conversations. But the relationships that were built, the discipling that happened on that little trip matured them, and it deepened their friendship and it solidified their relationship. And guess what? I got invited on that trip. But you know what? I was too busy to go. And I missed out on an incredible opportunity with some good Christian brothers to deepen my relationship, to be made into a better disciple, a more fully devoted disciple. And there's going to be opportunities like that through our lives. And I know life is busy, and I know that we've got a lot of stuff going on. But I want to encourage us, and it's challenging me to look back and ask myself some questions about my life, about slowing down, about creating some margin, about making space for relationships so that my whole life is not just a big to-do list, a checklist that I'm going through and just rifling through one right after the other, but actually looking for opportunities to welcome people into my life, to share what's been shared with me and to receive from them what's been shared in them. And that reciprocal building of relationship is what actually makes us all into incredible disciples. And so would you guys stand with me? And I want to invite you into an activity here as we close our time together. I want to ask you to close your eyes, if you would, to be quiet just for a minute and to ask God these questions. What clutter in my life needs to go? What things are eating up my time that I could really let go of really easily to create margin and space and time for relationship? God, how could I reorient my schedule to honor you and to have time for others? I want to just sit with that for a minute. Listen to the Lord. Ask him those questions and see what he might say to you this morning. You see, if Jesus is asking us to follow him and to make disciples, then I believe he will make a way for us to integrate that into the everyday natural part of our life. That it's not another checklist, it's not another to-do list, it's not another litany of activity in your life. But as you go to the grocery store, as you run your errands, as you take your kids to school, as you go to work, as you go, you're in relationship and connections with people who need what you have. And you have the margin to share that because God's opened up your heart and you've got time to actually see people where they are and meet them in that place. And so you have an opportunity to respond this morning in a couple of different ways. Our prayer team is going to assemble up here at the front right now, and you can certainly come down here in just a minute to receive prayer. If God's spoken something to you and you'd like to pray that out or be in agreement or ask for some help on what do I do with what the Lord just revealed to me, these folks would love to pray with you. And maybe you could respond by this. We're going to sing together. Becca's going to lead us. And you could respond in worship right now and say, God, I would love to reorient my schedule so that I have margin to make disciples, to be in relationship with people. So, Father, this morning as we wrap up our time together, we want to say thank you, God, that you have called us and equipped us to be incredible people who are making a difference in this world, that making disciples really does change the world because we are being who you created us to be. Our simple, normal, everyday self, the personality that you've given us, the gifting that you've given us, the people that you've called us to be. As we go out from this place, God, we engage people and have space for friendships, for relationships, to speak life into one another. And I thank you, God, that you have called us to this simple work of making disciples. We love you, God, and we say thank you in Jesus' name.